Proverbs 4 verse 20 reads, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Now everybody should have it. So we'll go back and make our little introductory comments. My son, attend to my words. We got to put the word first place. We got to take care of it in our lives, glory be unto God. We can't let things steal a word from us. Are you listening to me? You can't let infirmity or sickness in your body steal the word of God from you. Are you listening? I mean, you can't just consider it. Hallelujah. You just can't consider your body all the time. If you do, you're going to lose the fight. You'll lose it before you ever get going in it. But He's given us something to consider, and it's His Word. And if we consider that Word morning, noon, and night, we are going to win every time, no matter what, whether it's our body or whether it's finances or whatever the case may be. We're going to win. Everybody say we're going to win. Hallelujah. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Well, we've said this, that inclining the ear is not only this outer physical ear, but also our inner ear of the Spirit, listening and obeying what God has for us to do and what He directs us. We need to be obedient to that, but also obedient to this Word, glory be unto God. When we find it in here, we need to be obedient to it. Going on. Let them not, let them want those words and sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Glory be unto God. I mean, this has got to be an everyday thing. That's what I love so much about this past 6 days that we've had together, because it's not only good for all of us, but it's been just a real blessing for me, because it requires me to spend much more time in the Word of God. And what happens then is things don't tend to move you when you stay in the Word that much, glory to God. Amen. When people do silly stuff, you just say, well, nothing you can do, it's done now, glory to God. Hallelujah. So you got to keep the Word before your eyes. You got to keep that Word in your heart. And it says concerning that Word, for the words are life unto those that find them, which means you're going to have to search for it. You're going to have to get your little spiritual shovel out and dig. Glory be unto God. And not expect pastor or this preacher or that preacher to give it to you. You're going to have to get in the Word and dig it. Glory to God. Dig it. Matter of fact, some people can probably listen to a tape like now, and in 15 years come back and listen to the tape and think they're listening to a new tape. Are you listening? In other words, they didn't get in and dig it out. They need to get their little notebook out, and they need to write it down, and they need to just really follow it, and they really need to get into the Word of God and study the Word. For they are life unto those that find them. Everybody say life.
Life.
That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. For they are life unto those that find them, and what else are these words and sayings to us? And health to their flesh. Whose flesh? Those who have, glory to God, gone out and found the Word of the living God. It's not going to be health to the guy in the church across the street if he never opens up his Bible concerning the subject of healing. Or anybody here. I mean, if you don't get into the Word, you can kiss it goodbye. No matter how much full gospel you got stamped on your forehead, you got to get into the Word of the living God. We all do. Hallelujah! So, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So we have been looking at inclining our ears to the sayings of Jesus. And we looked at John 14:10. I'll read it to you out of the Greek text once again. The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth them. Hebrews 1:2 says, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So God wants us to know this, that anything that God has to say, He exhibited those sayings through the mouth of Jesus and through the life of Jesus. So we can look at Jesus Christ walking on the face of the earth, and we can see exactly how God thinks. Amen. So we've been staying most of the time in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. It was unintended, but that's where we are. And every day I get up and say, Lord, what's new for today? And the Lord is so gracious and wonderful, and the Holy Spirit is so active that He just shows me what He wants for us today. And I tell you what, I got up from behind my desk this morning about 11 o'clock, and I did a little choo-choo train around it because of the goodness of what God is going to show us tonight. Amen. And so we're going to look at the sayings of Jesus. Why? Because Romans the 10th chapter verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is not going to be faith unless we hear the Word of God. Now, it seems like the sayings of Jesus that we're hearing most of all is, what can you believe? You can have whatever you believe. Amen? And so the more you hear this, and the more you hear what happens with these folks and how Jesus responds, faith will grow in our heart. You can really have whatever you believe if it's in line with the Word of God. Amen. This is going to make a wonderful 30-tape series. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord's good. Now turn with me to Matthew 9. I enjoyed being with Jairus the second night, last night. But we're going on from Jairus. Turn with me to chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 27. I want you to recall that this is now 5 days in a row that I have given you the starting scripture. Chapter 9, verse 27. Are you ready? So he's leaving Jairus' house. And it says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. Everybody say, two blind men. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, I didn't mean to say put this in, but you can turn to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, holding your finger there in Matthew 9. Go over to chapter 42 of Isaiah, and you're going to find out something about Jesus and His messianic ministry to the earth. There was one item that was number one that would designate Jesus and separate Him from all other people who had walked on the face of the earth. And we find it here in chapter 42, and then we find it in Matthew 9. And it says here, verse 1, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. This is a messianic prophecy talking about Jesus. It goes down into verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I the Lord hath called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant the people for a light of the Gentiles. Remember when Jesus was born and they presented Him in the temple. The prophet said, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And so notice this, the first thing that we are going to know Him and know and that we'll be able to recognize the Messiah, verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. There's not another recording that we know of, that I know of, where there was a healing of blind eyes. Jesus was the first one on the scene that did it. Remember when the disciples of John the Baptist came and said, are you the one or do we need to keep searching for another? And he goes, go tell John what you've seen. The eyes of the blind are open. Well, the reason why John would know that is because John was prophesied about in chapter 40. So he knew very well the writings of the prophet Isaiah. And so this was something. So here come the blind men, giving Jesus an amazing opportunity to show forth His messianic ministry. But Jesus just doesn't do it. And that's what you need to know tonight. Glory be unto God. Faith is still the best way. We cannot count on the gifts of the Holy Ghost going into manifestation for us because that is as the Spirit wills. Glory be unto God. But you can always expect and believe that faith will bring about what you desire. Glory be unto God. And if the gift's go into operation for us, so that we can receive something from the Lord, glory be unto God. But I might go the rest of my life and never receive a miracle of healing. But I don't have to go the rest of my life to receive my healing by faith. That's just how you will and how much you want to put into it. Glory be unto God. Amen. And even if a miracle needs to be done to create something that's missing, God works miracles by faith. So faith, glory to God, an atmosphere of faith allows God to move. Now look at chapter 9, verse 27 of Matthew again. I kind of took a little side trip there. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Have mercy on us. And notice what it says, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him." So Jesus just kept on walking. When they cried out to him, "Have mercy on us," Jesus just kept on walking and these blind men followed him. Glory be unto God. There is probably nothing in the Word. It took me a long time to get exactly how to write this. I scratched this out, but I believe I captured what the Lord wanted me to capture. There is probably nothing in the Word that reveals the character of God more than God's desire to show forth His mercy and compassion. We learn more about the character of God through the display of His mercy and compassion than probably any other way that we learn about Him in the Word of God. Now, you'll have to know something, that the word mercy and compassion many times are translated from the same words in the Bible. Not all the time, but many times. And so we're really going to handle mercy and compassion as one word tonight, just to speed things along. But notice that again. There is probably nothing in the Word that reveals the character of God more than God's desire to show forth His mercy and compassion. So turn with me, if you would please, to Psalm 145. We're just going to look at mercy just for a few minutes before we go back to the sayings of Jesus. Now, this is all the sayings of God, so we're still inclining our ear unto His sayings. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Let me go ahead in my notes, and I want to give you a definition before we go on. Vine's Expository Dictionary gives one of the great definitions of mercy you're going to find in any book. Vine's says concerning mercy, it assumes need on the part of him who receives it, and resources adequate to meet the need on the part of him who shows it. Now, some of you didn't get it because... Now, think about it. Meditate on these words. Mercy assumes need on the part of him who receives it, and resources adequate to meet the need on the part of him who shows it. So you... As a recipient and a one who is needing to receive mercy, you have a need. And mercy just views and assumes that because you need it, the one who possesses the mercy has resources adequate to meet the need. Glory to God. And so when these blind men are crying out for the mercy of the Almighty God, they're the ones in need of healing, and they are approaching Jesus as the one who has resources adequate to meet their need. Well, I'm here to tell you, He does have resources adequate to meet the need. Now, I don't remember which night it was that we looked at, whether last night or the night before, but we looked at scriptures, it was last night, that nothing is too hard for God. There was Jairus, and his daughter had died, The people came from his house and said, don't trouble the master any further. In other words, they were saying, it's over, the game is finished. And Jesus immediately stopped him and said, fear not, only believe. And so between that time, we use scriptures to show that there's nothing too hard for God. No matter what I'm facing, there's nothing too difficult. No matter what my body needs, there's nothing too hard. There's nothing too difficult. If my body's missing something, there's nothing too difficult. Are you now? Listen. If my heart needs to be reworked, there's nothing too difficult for God. He will rework the heart. He will build it anew. He will structure it brand new. He'll put new tissue in the heart if it's needed. He will make the valves new if it's needed. If the cardiovascular system needs to be reworked and needs to be cleaned out, it's not too hard for God. No matter how much decay has come to our body, God will fix it. If we were born without something, God will fix it. Glory be unto God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, nothing's too hard. Absolutely nothing. Now notice this, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Glory be unto God. The Zoe life and nature of the Almighty God lives in us who are born again. His life permeates every cell of my being. If it needs to be restructured, His nature will reform it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh my goodness. You just stay in the Word, my brothers and sisters, and the grandness and the greatness of God will become evident before our eyes. What a mighty God we serve. Glory to God. So again, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord Jehovah is good to all. He's good. He's good. He only knows good. He's good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. His mercy is what drives Him to do. It controls God's actions. Hebrews, the second chapter. They're appealing to the mercy of Jesus or the mercy of God. Hebrews, the second chapter. Glory to God. Verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him, Jesus, to be made like unto His brethren, like us, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. So notice this. It behooved Him to be made like us, to put on flesh and bone, and to have blood running through His physical body. It required Him to come down from heaven's throne at the right hand of the Father, and that spirit being, glory be unto God, conceived in the very womb of a woman to be born, He was required to do it so that He could be a merciful high priest. Because God could never show the kind of mercy on us He needs to show unless Jesus knew what it's like to be human. Glory be unto God. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. So it is evident that it was essential that He be made like His brethren in every respect, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sins. For because He Himself in His humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested, and tried, He is able immediately to run to the cry of assist, relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Now, because he was tempted in all like manners as I'm tempted, then he was tempted to go with a negative confession concerning his body. The man got tired and worn out. That's why he slept. He had attacks against his body just the way you did, but he never sinned with his mouth. He only spoke the word of the living God. That's why he was never sick. He wouldn't receive what the enemy was bringing his way. But if he just walked this earth like a glorified body, he would have never had to sleep. He would have never had to pull himself away from the crowd up into the mountain, spend time with the Father, and get rejuiced. You look in the Bible and find out when he was getting juiced up in the with the Holy Ghost up in the mountains, almost the next thing he did almost every time was he came down and started healing people. If you don't stay juiced with God, you're not going to have much power. Glory to God. That's why some people have so much struggles in life. They don't stay juiced on the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a key right there. Stay juiced on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Mercy and compassion are based on love. They come out of the heart of love. One definition of mercy is alleviation of distress, relief. You ever just need relief from God? Well, His mercy will bring it to pass. Micah, if you would please. Micah. The 7th chapter. For those of you who haven't been in Micah a while, I'm going to give you a chance to find Micah. Micah 7, verse 8. Oh, excuse me. That's a good scripture, but it's not the one I'm going to. Verse 18. Chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Notice the words, he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion or mercy upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Why? Because of his mercy. God gets delight out of showing mercy. What does God do for a night out to get fun and have enjoyable times? God shows forth mercy. He delighteth in it. He gets fun out of it. It makes God happy to show forth mercy. It makes God pleased when He can come into somebody's body and rework the inside of their body and make it totally right and totally well. It makes God happy. He delights in being able to come in to Brian's eyes and reworking on the inside of his eyeballs and making it glory to God so he can see. He delights in that. God delights in it. God delights on going to the person who might have a limb that's not right, and God will delights in making it correct. God has a time. Heaven, I'm sure, rejoices. God gets bubbly and giggly about it. He delights in it. Oh, glory. 2 Chronicles, if you would, please. 2 Chronicles. The 16th chapter. Now, we've been talking about for 5 nights, basically. I mean, the leper comes to Jesus, and the leper said, "If thou will, thou canst make me whole." And Jesus said, "I will." And we keep talking about not only how he can, because he can do all things, and all things are possible. And then we say, but not only can he, but he will. That word will is pretty tame. We really have no way, I think, in English to really describe just how willing He is to do it. And so the only thing that I can really come up with is 2 Chronicles 16 that will kind of give us some insight that will go above the tameness of "I will to do it." Here it is. Verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." So it's beyond willing. God is out there searching with His eyes, trying to find someone that He can show Himself strong on their behalf.
Hallelujah.
It's just not a thing where I come to God and say, "God, I really need this. Okay, I'm willing." No, God's not just waiting for me to come. God's out there looking, His eyes going to and fro. God looking for somebody that He can use His power for. These blind men might have thought they were coming to Jesus, but God was out there with His eyes searching them out before He ever came.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My God. I got to read that again. I'm getting juiced. Verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro." You see them? They're trotting around all over the earth. His eyes are. "They run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." Before the night, we're going to get into that perfection of heart, because it's enjoyable. God is hunting for the opportunity to show forth His mercy. His mercy is what inspires Him to use His strength and power for us. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles 6. Verse 14. So Solomon's praying and he said, "O Lord God," verse 14, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their hearts." Notice again, "There is no God like Thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their hearts." Now notice there are some requisite things that are coming forth here that have to be done before mercy is going to be exhibited by God. He's searching all over the earth for somebody to show Himself strong and mighty for. Glory be to God. He delights in mercy, but there's a reason why He can't dump it on us all the time. There are some obstacles. Perfection of heart. Walking before Him with all of our heart. Glory be unto God. Psalm 25:10. I know where the sermon ends. Psalm 25, verse 10. "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies," His word. Notice this. "All the paths of Jehovah are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant." I mean, wherever He leads you, whatever path He leads me in, that path is just lined and laid, and the curbing is nothing but mercy and truth. In other words, if I'm just walking in Him, in His covenant, keeping His word, wherever I go, His mercy is there to be dumped out on top of me. But there's an obstacle. And we'll look at that obstacle in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians. Ooh, they said, "Have mercy on us." Jesus just kept walking. What a guy. Here God's laying all this out, how much he wants to pour out his mercy, and Jesus just keeps on walking. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. James, the 5th chapter, verse 11. This is a mighty scripture from the beginning. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. So the going gets tough, endure, and you'll be counted happy. You have heard of the patience of Job. If you haven't, go read it. Oh, brother. And have seen the end of the Lord. Here's the end. Here's the end of the story. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. This is the end of the story. After enduring, after being patient, the end of the story is, He is, glory be unto God, a Lord of tender mercy. Hallelujah. The few scriptures we've looked at say such things as, He is of great mercy. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. He delighteth in mercy. He showeth mercy unto thy servants. He is the Father of mercies. The Lord is of tender mercies. Amen. Glory to God. Going on. Yet there are preconditions. 2 Chronicles 16 says, Our heart is perfect toward Him. Must be perfect toward Him. 2 Chronicles 6:14, that we walk before Him with all of our heart. Psalm 25:10 says that we keep His covenant and His testimonies or His word. Now go back with me to Matthew 9, if you would please. Matthew 9. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the sayings of Jesus. With all that in mind. Verse 27, And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him. So here they are, they're blind men following Him. Just think about the difficulty of these blind men following after Him. Jesus went to the house, went into the house, and notice that the blind man came to Him in the house. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? He just walked on by them, and they kept following. He went into the house, and they followed Him into the house. The next thing Jesus asked, Do you believe I'm able to do this? Or it's the only thing He said to them. I mean, just them following, folks, this is an act of faith. Faith keeps walking. It doesn't give up. Faith keeps on walking. Oh, brother. Jesus said, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, both of them, Yes, Lord. Then touched He their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. So, there was something that was needed to have the Father of mercies pour out His mercy on them, and it was this item called faith. God cannot get beyond faith. Faith, and there is a reason for this. Everything, the just shall live by faith. Everything we do must be done through faith. Maybe it was Sister Gloria years ago. Well, is it you that stood up and said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me, and God delivered you from cigarette smoking? Shit, how many years did you smoke? At least 10 years. Yeah. And she was bound by it. And we were having a service. Had you tried to quit before? And she stood up and started screaming out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the reason why he had mercy? Because she did it in faith. And an addiction was broken. God's power just came into her and broke the power of it. Just broke the power, because when she said, "Thou son of David," she did it in faith, not begging him. I mean, power came into her. And you stopped, didn't you? The Lord. You know, when the Lord delivered me of drugs, it was the exact same way. It was over. And I was bound. And it was over. There was no tapering off, going on some other drug to keep from doing another drug, getting stoned on another drug to keep from getting stoned on this drug. It was the Holy Ghost came through and delivering power and broken addiction. You know what he was doing that night? His eyes were going all around. He was looking somebody that he could show his strength on and just dump out his mercy. And she jumped up in faith, said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And God just went, wham! And delivered her, and God delighted from that. I mean, he just sat back on the throne going, yeah, and I mean, the angels were probably high-fiving him. Some of these angels have got multiple appendages, so they might, it could be a real slap fest. Glory be unto God. And if he needs any extra eyes looking for him, some of those angels got eyes all around their head, man. They're just spinning looking. Glory be unto God. Oh, glory be unto God. I said, glory be unto God. They didn't give up. He said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yes, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Again, faith is the key component to deliverance. You know, people can say what they want. They can say, well, he doesn't heal anymore because Jesus isn't walking the earth. They can say, well, he doesn't heal anymore because the apostles aren't walking the earth. Well, Peter cleared that up. He said, "Why are you looking on us like it's by our power that we had anything to do with this?" He says, "It's faith in the name." Hallelujah. So the apostles, right off the bat, said, "We don't have anything to do with this," because God knew that down the way, people would say, "Well, the apostles aren't here, so that's why it's not happening anymore." Peter started out the first thing and said, "We don't have anything to do with this. This remove us from the equation." It's faith. Now you can go through all these folks. Jesus isn't here, so that means healing's gone. The apostles aren't here, that means healing's gone. But every one of them would say, faith's here. Because without faith, glory to God, you're not going to be born again. I can go to every new birth believing church. We can go across town to all the Baptist churches, go over across the field to the Baptist. They say, "Is faith for today?" And they will say, "Absolutely, for by grace are you saved through faith." And my next thing is, say what Jesus said, by your healing comes by faith. Amen. Jesus was there, and yet he required faith from them. Oh, glory to God. Faith will take care of all of our financial problems. Amen. Well, why is that? Well, we got to study some more and find out. Verse 30, and their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Some people say, why did Jesus tell them not to tell anybody? Because you look at sometimes when he tells them that, and they go ahead and spread it, that it tells us that Jesus could no more enter into that city. I mean, there got to be a stink, and he had to start ministering to people outside of towns. But Jesus wasn't popular with religious folks. These are the same folks that tried to push him over the cliff. So he said, just cool it. Don't tell anybody. We'll just slide in and out. We'll go have our meetings on the edge of the Galilee. But then they'd close off cities to him, and he couldn't even come in. Oh. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. But they got healed. Amen. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, the Bible says again, to incline your ear unto His sayings. We've looked at mercy will be poured out in that one instance if we keep His testimonies, keep His Word. Well, what is His Word? It's the Word of faith, Romans the 10th chapter tells us in verse 8. Glory to God. Turn with me, if you would please, to Romans 14. Romans 14. How can I be sure to get this mercy poured out on us? Well, you got to keep His Word. You got to be obedient to His Word. Now, what is sin? Disobedience to His Word. Well, look, if you would, please, to Romans 14, 23. You all know the word, know the scripture, the latter part. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if sin is disobedience to the word, which my wife so correctly answered, Romans 14, 23 was the scripture, then faith is simply obedience to the word. We don't really have to work up anything real difficult about faith. Faith is just seeing in the Word that something is yours and that God wants you to abide by it and then walking by it. That's why He said the just or the righteous. What is a righteous person? It's a person who's walking according to the Word. Yes, we know that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ legally, but vitally we have to walk like it. I am legally, by the blood of Jesus, a righteous man, but I just can't go out and do everything the world does. Vitally, I have to walk in righteousness. Now, it says this, that the just, or one translation says, my righteous ones shall live by faith. Faith is obedience to the Word. Righteousness is a man who walks in obedience to the Word, if you're righteous. So, obedience. When it talks about there's got to be obedience for mercy to be poured out, you walk in faith and mercy will be poured out because faith is obedience to the Word. Now, for instance, we can look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Glory be unto God. I want you to notice this, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Why did he offer the animal sacrifice? In obedience. So his faith was obedience to God. Let's look on. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Why did he prepare the ark? Because God told him to. He was obedient to the command of God, and that is faith. Look at Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He started walking. He went. Faith is obedience to the Word. We don't have to get real difficult about it. If I'm walking in faith, I'm walking in the Word. If I'm not walking in the Word, I'm walking in sin, and it's not faith. Lord, do you understand that? Faith is obedience to the Word. If I find in the Bible these words, by His stripes I am healed, Well, I've got to be obedient to those words and accept them as truth and apply them to my life. That's obedience. If God said, let the weak say, I am strong, I got to be obedient to that, and I can't go walking around saying I'm weak. Because obedience requires, let the weak say, I'm strong. You consider yourself, you say, I'm weak inside, but then immediately you start saying, I'm strong in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm strong in the name of Jesus. So your obedience is now translated as faith.
Amen.
Folks, I'm seeing it's real not as difficult as what we think it is. You just find what he says, you do what he says, and you're a just person walking and living by faith. So we find in there that he says, he says this. He says to sow seed, so I'm going to be obedient. He says in Malachi 3 to tithe, I'm going to be obedient to that. But that obedience translates into faith, glory be unto God. And then I get all of the benefits because I'm walking in faith and doing it. Faith is obedience. We could go through more of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and just find out when God spoke to them to do something, they did it in obedience, and it was equated as faith. Glory be unto God. So when we bring it over into the new covenant, and it's talking about we're having to keep his words and everything, just saying being obedient to the word, and something magnificent is happening, faith is entering into the equation because we're being obedient to the word of the living God. Praise the Lord. God's good. Now Romans 3, if you would please. Romans, the 3rd chapter. Jesus was requiring, when he walked on the earth, there was getting to be a change of dispensations. The believers, the Old Covenant believers, and then the New Covenant believers, who were the New Covenant being born again by the blood of Jesus, Jesus was the bridge into the dispensation of grace where we now exist and walk in. Amen? And you see something that they were coming out of the dark years, that 400 years of darkness, when there wasn't a voice in Israel. There wasn't a prophet. And then all of a sudden, this man starts walking as God on the earth, showing them the will of God, but he's also showing them something else, and they're having to learn something that really hadn't been visible for centuries and centuries in Israel. And that is that they're beginning to be required to live by faith and to walk by faith because we were bridging into a new dispensation. You'll find at the close of this dispensation, there are going to be things happening that will bridge us into the next dispensation. There will be more people see angels and see into the realm of the Spirit as we're getting ready to bridge into the next dispensation. People are going to be having more experiences of going to heaven and returning as we bridge in, glory to God. Just like the bridge required them to walk by faith because we were moving into the covenant of faith and not of the law and works. We were going into covenant. Now we're going to be branching in to a new dispensation of heaven, and people in the body of Christ are going to be experiencing heaven stuff. Churches in their services, yes, churches in their service are going to be experiencing heaven stuff as the dispensation is changing, glory to God. I mean, it'll be a heavenly beings coming in concert with church services, glory to God. And I say, why not here? We're in the bridge, glory to God. It might seem like troubled waters, but we're in the bridge over, glory to God, getting ready for the next dispensation when we blast out of here and heaven's starting to work closely with men and women.
Hallelujah.
Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Going to be a greater manifestation of the gifts because that's the norm. It's not; they're not supernatural in heaven. They're just natural. Now look here at Romans, the 3rd chapter. The law of Moses gave forth benefits if the people were obedient. But the thing about it, they didn't have the Spirit of God on the inside of them, and they couldn't stay obedient for very long periods of time. It was an impossibility for them because there was no indwelling presence. When these sick people came to the Lord, they came to the Lord under the blessings of the law. because Jesus hadn't ascended yet, hadn't died and hadn't gone to heaven. Now notice this. Well, let's just read from verse 25. Oh, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Which is boasting then, it is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. But notice he said also. He's still the God of the Jews. Some people forget that part. See, it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now that says the just shall live by faith. And what did faith, does faith do? Faith confirms, that's the word right there, establish, is the word confirm. Confirms the law. Now, I want you to remember this, that we were without a covenant until Jesus came. And then we were allowed to partake of a covenant and of a God that we did not have. We didn't have a God. We were without a God in this world. Now notice what faith allows to happen. It confirms, establishes the law. Part of the law was like Exodus the 15th chapter, verse 26. If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and you obey His commandments, then He would become something to you. He would become Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. We didn't have that as a covenant because we were without God. But what Jesus did when He came and we died, faith does something. We don't do away with the law. We simply confirm the law, and faith allows us to partake of the blessings of the law that was given to the children of Israel. Now we're going to show you something in just a second that ought to just really bless you. The Amplified Bible says, "Do we then by this faith make the law of none effect, overthrow it or make it a dead letter? Certainly not. On the contrary, we confirm and establish and uphold the law." So we have entered in. These blind men, by faith, we're confirming something that belonged to them. Glory be unto God. They accessed something that no one had accessed in 400 years. They were accessing it by faith. Now we access the same thing by faith and we confirm the law. But the good part about it is, Galatians 3:13 says, we're redeemed from the curse. We don't have anything to do with the curse because we've been redeemed, but we access the blessings, glory to God, by faith. Now that's the good news, and that's not all the story. Now notice, go with me to Deuteronomy 8. I just felt like throwing this in. Deuteronomy 8. Here's part of the law. But thou shalt remember, 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So something else that our faith allows us to do, my brothers and sisters, is we confirm that part of the law, and that part of the law is established in us. We get the good stuff out of the law. Amen. We don't get the bad stuff, we get the good stuff. Hallelujah. What a deal. Jesus canceled out the bad stuff for us with His blood. We get the good, but that's not all we get.
Amen.
Glory to God. I just, for some reason, I was studying and felt like going. These men confirmed the law when they stretched out their faith. Our obedience and walking in the Word, glory to God, is us, is faith being stretched out. And a confirmation of things is taking place. And we're out there in Exodus, the 15th chapter, verse 26, and healing's becoming ours. We're reaching out there into Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 18. Prosperity's becoming ours. Covenants are being established, glory to God, by faith. And then we get over to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, our closing scripture, probably. Oh, glory. Not only do we get the blessings of the old covenant, but notice what verse 6 says. But now hath he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. The whole reason for this last 6 minutes is this. Healing is fabulous. Prosperity is fabulous. But that was still from the old covenant brought to us by faith. But what we have in this covenant is better, and the promises are better. You remember this. The greatest of all promises was this, that God, remember, the promise of the Father was the Holy Ghost and the indwelling presence of the Almighty God. No matter how much we seek healing, no matter how much we seek prosperity, and thanks be unto God, it's ours by faith. He wants to pour it out. There's something better. The Holy Ghost, God's presence, lives in me. And my destiny is not earthly. My destiny is heavenly. That's better. Thank God we can approach Him by faith. And we can get our healing. But there's something better. And you might be in your particular physical problem. How could anything be better? It's better. Faith confirmed, established, glory to God, and upheld the law. And the blessings come unto us of healing. The blessings come of prosperity. The blessing of peace. That's an old covenant thing. Notice that again. Woo! But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. I really sense in my heart the reason the Lord led me to believe put those scriptures in there, because when you get so caught up with healing, you can become so focused on one thing, especially when you're teaching on it for 30 straight days. But there are things that are even better. There are things that are better than money. The indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. The being led by the Spirit of the living God. We are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. That's better. That's better. Glory to God. And if you become God inside minded, the healing and prosperity will take care of itself. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to stop there. Hallelujah.